This is the story of the resurrection from John's Gospel. As you know, if you come here every week, we're studying John's Gospel. We start at the very beginning, so we'll have the resurrection twice, but we won't come to this part for some time. Anyway, it's called the empty tomb in my Bible. That's John chapter 20 and verse 1. It says there, "Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Then she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and said to them, 'They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him.' Peter therefore went out to the other disciple and were going to the tomb. So they both ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb first. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen cloths lying there, yet he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. And he saw the linen cloths lying there, and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded together in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who came to the tomb first went in also, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not know the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again to their own homes. But Mary stood outside the tomb weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white, sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. Then they said to her, 'Woman, why are you weeping?' She said to them, 'Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him.' Now when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, and did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, 'Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?' She, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, 'Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away.' Jesus said to her, 'Mary.' She turned and said to him, 'Rabboni,' which is to say, 'teacher.' Jesus said to her, 'Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to the Father and your Father, and to my God and your God.' Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, when the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, 'Peace be with you.' When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, 'Peace to you, as the Father has sent me, I also send you.' And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, 'Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained.' Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, 'We have seen the Lord.' So he said to them, 'Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe.' And after 8 days his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, 'Peace to you.' Then he said to Thomas, 'Reach your fingers here, and look at my hands, and reach your hand here, and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing.' And Thomas answered and said to him, 'My Lord and my God.' Jesus said to him, 'Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed.' And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." Well, before we come to our text, we need to have some background into the story that is presented to us from John chapter 20. You see, 2,000 years ago, there was a man called Jesus Christ who walked on this earth. He was born into humble circumstances. His father was a carpenter who claimed that he was not his father. And his mother claimed she had Jesus in a miraculous way. She was a virgin. At the age of 12, Jesus displayed knowledge that astounded the religious leaders of the day. By the time he was 30, he started to make claims about himself. He was introduced to us by a man called John the Baptist. And John the Baptist said that this Jesus was the Lamb of God who came to take away the sins of the world. His early disciples recognized that Jesus had all the attributes of God. He was all-knowing, he seemed to be all-powerful, and he seemed to know where you were at any given time. He healed the sick, he opened the eyes of the blind, he healed crippled people who couldn't walk, he cast out demons, he supplied 5,000 people with food from a little boy's packed lunch, he walked on water, he controlled the wind and the waves. He even cursed a fig tree and it died. He did many things to prove that he was God in human form. He claimed to be the light of the world. He claimed to be the bread from heaven. He claimed to be the way, the truth, and the life. And he also claimed that if his body was destroyed, it would be raised up in 3 days. He challenged sin, but he loved the sinner. And even though people tried very hard, they could not find any fault in his character. He was completely without sin. He never did anything wrong. However, the religious people of the day didn't like Jesus. They didn't believe his claims, and they were determined to charge him with a crime of blasphemy. That was claiming that he was God. They had an illegal trial, and although the person in charge found no fault in him during the day, the soldiers carried him to the cross, and he was nailed to the cross for his punishment. When Jesus was on the cross, there was 3 hours of darkness over all the land during the day, and the soldiers guarding the crucifixion were convinced that Jesus was the Son of God. After Jesus died, a rich man called Joseph was allowed to bury Jesus in a tomb that was cut out from the rock, and Roman guards were sent to guard the tomb where Jesus laid. Well, the disciples who followed Jesus didn't fully understand why Jesus, who had the power of God at his control, allowed himself to be crucified for a crime that he did not commit. However, many years later, a man who firstly persecuted Christians and then became a Christian said this: "For God made Christ," that's Jesus Christ, "for God made Christ, who never sinned, to be an offering for our sin, that we could be made right with God through Jesus Christ." The disciples didn't understand at the time. They were disappointed, and they felt that their hearts were destroyed. In fact, one of his followers, Peter, denied ever knowing Jesus. It was the end of the dream for Peter. Well, with this background, we now come to the story in John chapter 20. It's a wonderful story. It's a story that changed a woman's tears to joy. It's a story that changed the sad hearts of the disciples into glad hearts. And it's a story that changed the doubting disciple into a believing disciple. Now let's look at the story. Jesus was crucified on the Friday, and it was now very early on Sunday morning. Mary Magdalene arrived at the tomb and saw that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. And Mary ran to the other disciples and reported the facts. They came to check it out. Peter went into the tomb and saw the grave clothes lying there. However, there's something significant in verse 7. I'm going to read it to you. "And the handkerchief that had been around the head of Jesus, his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded together in a place by itself. If you weren't Jewish, or you didn't know anything about Jewish culture, you wouldn't understand the significance of that. In verse 7 it says the handkerchief had been around the head of Jesus, folded in a place by itself. What is so significant about that? Well, in Jewish culture, if you didn't like a place where you were having a meal, you folded your napkin in a certain way to communicate that you don't like it here and you soon must go. Perhaps Jesus folded the handkerchief in a Jewish way to show his disapproval of the tomb. This action would have put a smile on the face of Peter. Jesus disapproved of the tomb and he had moved on to greater things. In verse 9 it says, they saw and believed. We don't know what they actually believed at the time, but we do know that they must have been very encouraged by the sign that Jesus left. And in verse 10 we're told that the disciples left the tomb and returned home. Mary was outside the tomb crying, and she looked into the tomb and saw two angels. And the angels asked Mary why she was crying. And Mary said, because they've taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they've laid him. Then Mary turned around and saw somebody standing next to her. She thought he was the gardener. And as soon as that person said, Mary, she recognized it was Jesus. And Mary's tears turned to joy when she recognized that Jesus was alive. And Jesus appeared first to Mary, and he spoke a personal word to her heart. He didn't say very much. He only called her name, but his presence was enough. And immediately, Mary went and informed the disciples of this wonderful event. Well, the next resurrection appearance came on the same day in the evening. The disciples were afraid of the Jewish authorities, and so they locked themselves in a room. Well, Jesus walked through the locked door and said to his disciples, peace be with you, or shalom in Hebrew. And Jesus showed them his hands and his side. Why did Jesus do that? Well, Jesus wanted the disciples to know it was the same Jesus that died on the cross for their sins. Jesus didn't want the disciples to have any doubts about his resurrection. Jesus repeated the words, peace be with you. And then said to the disciples that as the Father has sent him, so he sends the disciples. The disciples were commissioned to do a work for Jesus. God had sent Jesus from heaven to this world to die on a cross for the sins of the world. Now the disciples were being sent out into this world to tell everyone about this wonderful event, including the resurrection of Jesus. And Jesus breathed on the disciples and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Now this is a challenge to some theologians because this was not some sort of private Pentecost experience for the disciples. It was symbolic of what was to come. And the evidence is that it didn't actually change the disciples at this point. John had a way of recording things that Jesus said that pointed to some future event. He records in John 13, verse 8, Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered, if I do not wash you, you have no part with me. Jesus was talking about a future spiritual washing. So John often pointed to some future event. So Jesus here prepares his disciples in verses 22 and 23 that very soon they would receive the Holy Spirit and preach the gospel. And when they preached the gospel, if people received it, they were forgiven for their sins. If they rejected the gospel, their sins were retained. And the disciples' only involvement was to preach the gospel. They didn't have the power to forgive sins. This was the work of Jesus. Well, there's one more resurrection appearance of Jesus that we need to look at. That's verses 24 to 29. Jesus appeared to Thomas. After 8 days, the disciples were again in a locked room. This time, Thomas was with them. He didn't believe that Jesus had risen from the dead.
And Thomas said, unless I see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger in the print of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. Jesus then walked through a locked door and said to the gathering, peace to you, or shalom in Hebrew. Jesus said to Thomas, reach your finger here and look at my hands, and reach your hand and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but be believing. What a nice shock that Thomas had. He cried out, my Lord and my God. Jesus said to Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed. Well, I promised we'd have a short message this morning because the children are all in. But we need to learn something. What can we learn from these three resurrection appearances of Jesus Christ? Well, what did Mary learn? Jesus gave Mary a message to pass on to the disciples in verse 17. What was that message? Jesus said to her, do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father and to my God and your God. The message was that Jesus was returning to his Father. Now, the full significance of this message must be seen in the light of the whole of John's Gospel, because every time John records that either Jesus came from heaven or was returning to heaven was in connection with the purpose of Jesus coming to this earth, and that was to die on the cross for the forgiveness of sins. I'm just going to read one of those references, and that's John chapter 3, verses 13 to 16. It says, no one has ascended from heaven, but he who came down from heaven, that is the Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So every time John mentions about Jesus coming to this earth, leaving heaven to come, he mentions about the message of forgiveness. The message of returning to the Father would have reminded the disciples that his death and resurrection was for the forgiveness of their sins. So Jesus was going to return to heaven and open up the way for them to follow. So now Jesus was going to prepare a place for the disciples. And God had accepted the situation. And God has accepted the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross as an atonement for man's sins. So the work had been done on the cross. It was finished. And now Jesus could now return to heaven. So by emphasizing the words, your Father and your God, Jesus points to the new relationship that is available because he has taken the wrath of God for our sins. Now people can have the same access to God that Jesus had. Hallelujah for that. The point is that God can be your Father and my Father and your personal God. You can have the same access to God that Jesus had. There's only one provision. You need to admit your sin and put your faith and trust in the work that Jesus did on the cross. He was your substitute. He was my substitute. The innocent dying for us, the guilty. If you receive this message into your heart, it will turn your guilty tears into tears of joy, knowing that your sins are forgiven. And we do this by faith. So Mary, as she passed on that message to the disciples, gave her the assurance that her sins were forgiven because Jesus was now going to the Father and she could have this personal relationship. What about the disciples? Well, we've already discovered from the text that Jesus commissioned the disciples to preach the gospel of forgiveness of sins. Jesus promised to forgive people who believed and to retain the sins of those who didn't believe. So the point is that we have got a job to do here on this earth. Jesus doesn't promise that everyone is going to believe. However, he does promise forgiveness to those who do believe. And we have a responsibility to take this message to our community where we live. It's not about being successful. It's not about failing. It's about faithfulness in taking the gospel to those people who will listen and leaving the results with Jesus and the work of his Holy Spirit. I wonder, will we be faithful to do this? It's not easy, but God will bless the efforts that you make. Thirdly and finally, there was Thomas. Now, Thomas wanted to see Jesus for himself rather than believe the report from the disciples. Jesus was very gracious to grant Thomas his request. However, throughout John's Gospel, the writer is trying to get us focused not on the miracles of Jesus, but upon the words of Jesus. And Jesus says in verse 29 that real favor with God does not depend on being able to see him, but on trusting the words of the apostles. Jesus said, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." If you want to be blessed today, then believe the words of Jesus. Believe the Bible is God's word. Believe that the Bible has the solution to all of your life, all of your problems, and everything that you'll ever come across. We don't need the signs and the miracles to believe in Jesus. We need to trust in the words of Jesus and in the Bible, and we will be truly blessed. The resurrection of Jesus proves that God has the power to raise our frail bodies to life again on the last day. Believing in Jesus and his resurrection is the only answer for your future and for my future. The question is, will we believe in Jesus today? If we put our faith and trust in Jesus today, we will have the assurance that one day we will die, and after our death will come the resurrection. We'll be raised to life, and we will have a new body, a real body, a recognizable body, and a body that's incorruptible, and a body that's prepared for all eternity to spend with Jesus, and a place that is much better than Japan. Japan's a beautiful place in the spring with the cherry blossom, but heaven is much more wonderful because there's no sin in heaven. Will you believe in the Lord Jesus today? Will you have new life in him? Will you have the assurance that when you die and leave this world, that you will be raised from the dead? That's what I believe. I hope that you believe that too. Let's pray. Father, we just want to thank you for these three resurrection appearances. Mary was crying and so upset, but when Jesus appeared to her, she had tears of joy. We know the disciples were challenged to take this message and preach it. We know also that Thomas, he doubted, he wanted to see Jesus, and he did, and Jesus was gracious. So, Lord, we pray that as we have not seen Jesus, but we believe in Jesus, that we will be truly blessed today. In Jesus' name, and for the glory of God, we ask it. Amen.